CSB Financial's free app, Card Valet. With Card Valet, you have the power to turn your card on and off.
Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you with RCP Director Brad Schoen in studio. Again, phone lines are open, 75-537-1350. We talked about Drug Take Back Day. That's going to be happening tomorrow, annual event. And we also, Brad, when you came in, you said you had some traffic enforcement updates you want to talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna be making a few changes. If you're out there listening now, even money says this is gonna make your ears perk up a little bit, because here's what it boils down to. We're probably gonna write more tickets. Okay, now we have everybody's attention. Here's why. for a few years now, we measure accidents in terms of whether they're preventable or not. And by it's a complicated term for accidents that aren't caused by either animals or weather, because yeah, maybe you could do something about weather-related accidents, but we know people are going to be sliding in the ditches and having wrecks when it's snowy, and there's nothing you can do about those deer that run in front of you. So when we take those out of the picture, the preventable accidents have been at a pretty low level for 3-4 years now, and holding there. So what we noticed, though, in the last quarter of 2017 was that they ticked up substantially. And I mean, like, from high 200s to low 400s. I mean, that's a lot more accidents in a quarter. So we do what we always do, and this is part of the whole intelligence-led policing concept that we've adopted. We kind of keep an eye on these things, and when we start to see something, we try to nip it in the bud, as opposed to, letting it get way out of hand before we deal with it. Now, that combined with the contacts, because, we're like everybody else in the community. We're out talking to people, And I know I've been hearing for a while now that people are becoming frustrated with the way drivers are acting around town. Everything from running red lights or really stale yellow lights to just forcing their way into traffic instead of merging, and not using their blinkers, and speeding, and Seth Childs, good Lord, every day I go to work on Seth Childs, somebody blitzes by me at about 60 to 65 miles an hour. Serious.
Do they know it's you they're blitzing by?
No, I don't have a police car with all that stuff on it, so they don't know. Periodically somebody will do something so egregious, I pull them over on the way home, and I'm like, come on, we got to pay attention here. You can't be driving like that. This is a turn lane. You're not supposed to go speeding by other people in a turn lane and merge into traffic. It's a turn lane. That solid white line means you can't cross it. Just for turning. It's a turn lane. So anyway, I find this interesting, because I talked with the city commission about it Tuesday night at their work session. And on the way to the city commission meeting, I saw two people run red lights. Well, again, we're about enforcement. I mean, that's what cops do. But realistically, if there aren't a lot of accidents, what's the purpose in us writing a lot of tickets? And then, of course, so we watch the accident numbers, and I've already mentioned that they started to tick up. So what we did was we put word out to the guys, the cops on the street, and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start writing more citations for these sorts of things. And we can take that if you need to.
Well, yeah, we actually have two.
Two?
Yeah, we'll take this first one. I'm sure it's a long time first time. Caller, go right ahead.
Okay, I have about two or three subjects. You're just talking about accidents. In law enforcement and the state highway, it's the three E's: engineering, education, and enforcement. I think the engineering's good. We've got good roads, very good roads. I think we're a little lax in enforcement, as I see people. We ought to take all the signs down and raise them 10 mile an hour, because everybody's running 10 over. And it's enforcement, education, and engineering. Well, we need some education, as you just pointed out. These people need to be advised. Maybe we need to have more education in school. The next thing is, when you're talking about the drugs, I know, I guess I read someplace that to be hired in a lot of jobs, you have to have a drug test. I'm sure you have to do that in law enforcement. What's your opinion? Do you think that law officers should have a random drug test? Because we all have seen in the paper, we're having a very, very sad thing with some of these law people in the state and all over the country, as just evidenced by the gentleman in California. They're humans. People need to realize that. They are humans.
Right. I can tell you that one of the things that happened shortly after I became the director is myself and the assistant director talked about it. We had a policy at the time that permitted us to do random drug tests on individuals who are in certain positions who regularly and more frequently have access to drugs by virtue of their employment as police officers. So, for example, you know, if you've got detectives whose primary focus is on drugs, or if you've got evidence people, that sort of stuff. So we started that. We started doing that because even though we'd had the policy, it hadn't been done before I became the director, at least if it was done very rarely. We then undertook a discussion with the local fraternal order of police, and they agreed with us that really we'd ought to expand it department-wide. So now what we have is a random drug testing program that's conducted by an outside vendor, and even we at the police department don't know who they're going to select. All we do is we give them a list of names. They have a random number generator that selects the individuals, and everybody at the police department, we have new employees come in, but if you've been at the police department very long, chances are you've been tested. I myself have been tested twice now. That's the way it goes. I mean, I think that's just good practice. And in direct response to your question, then I guess the obvious answer is yes. I think it's a darn good idea.
I want to applaud you for that. I didn't know that was going on. You heard it one time through the grapevine or whatever you call it that they weren't going to do that because of this, this, and this. I applaud you for that. That's very great. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. And to get back to the traffic enforcement.
Well, we do have one more call.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Caller, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello, caller. You're on in focus.
Hey there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, look, this deal down in Aggieville, down there where they're going to put that hotel in, right next to Starbucks, that's a complete confusion junction, man. That's, people park in there, there's no parking places, and they park in there where there's no parking place. And it ain't going to get any better when they start putting that deal in there. So if you got any thoughts about that, I mean, it sounds to me like it's going to be a mess.
Well,
I'm hanging up to listen. Thank you.
Yeah, I if you're going to listen, you're probably going to be disappointed. I don't know a lot about how that's going to work. I've heard, and this is just grapevine stuff, but I've heard that there's going to be some arrangement whereby there might be some parking spaces available at certain times of day. And I think what I was hearing was it was like during the day and that those spaces might be available during the day for people who are patronizing businesses in Aggieville. But then as you work more towards the evening hours and overnight hours, it was more like for hotel customers. Now, again, that's coming to me like second and third hand. So I don't think it's any big secret that parking has been and probably for a while will be a bit of a nightmare around Aggieville. I mean, I wish I had more to offer your caller there, but I don't. Anything that adds to more cars down there is just going to make more confusion. I mean, I agree with that. But frankly, that whole stretch of roadway between, about 4th Street and Denison is one of the more heavily traveled roadways in Manhattan. Last numbers I remember hearing were something like 6,000 vehicles a day pass down that stretch of Bluemont and Anderson, Anderson changes to Bluemont and vice versa. That's a lot of cars going through there. And you know, how much difference is another 100 going to make? There's just a lot of vehicles down there.
And as far as the parking issue at the hotel, that I'll back you up on that. That's kind of my understanding
I feel like I read that in a newspaper, or I saw some press release on it, or maybe it was in reference to some discussion at the city commission. I can't remember for sure, but
sure.
I did notice that they're starting to do something down there because I drove by yesterday, and it looks like they've torn out something because there's little piles of dirt and stuff there. I don't know what they're doing already.
It'll look completely different in a couple years.
I was thinking as I drove by that, you know, you got the Bluemont Hotel on that side, or on the north side, and then just half a block down or maybe less, this other hotel going in, it's going to completely change the way it looks right through there.
That's a big apartment complex and sorts of stuff.
True.
Dave, did you have something?
Yeah, you know, when you talk about that particular area, I think one of my biggest concerns, and we had this situation last April with this accident, and of course, you know, we had the conviction yesterday with the trial that concluded yesterday, is pedestrian traffic in that area. It's very problematic. Is it time to consider a walkover, an overpass for pedestrians in that area?
Right. Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that. Those things aren't expensive, and generally speaking, I think that the traffic guys, and I'm not a traffic guy, but from what I understand of it, those things aren't used a bunch because people don't like walking up the stairs and then back down when they can just scoot across the street. So if you're going to do it, you'd probably have to have some other sort of, some landscaping into there that would funnel people that direction or something and kind of try to encourage them to go over it.
I'm not sure there's ADA stuff with that too, possibly.
Yeah, I wondered, I just thinking out loud here, if you could work something between the two hotels, some sort of a, what's called a skyway kind of thing or something. You see it in big cities between convention centers. Yeah. And obviously neither of these hotels are huge. And who knows, I mean, the Bluemont Hotel may not have even been engineered to accept anything like that attached to it. So, but it's bad enough during the day, but most people during the day end up down at the intersection there and they pay attention to the lights. My concern is at night with what happened at the Blaha case and somebody getting whacked there. So, yeah.
What about a stoplight there at 12th and Bluemont?
Well, I'm not a traffic engineer. I defer to the city.
I understand,
you
got to regulate traffic flow, but that's really a serious problem, especially at nighttime.
Yeah, because you see a lot of people, and I've been down in Aggieville at night. You see a lot of people trying to cross there. So, yeah, I went down and walked with yes, I have. I went down and walked with some of the guys guys and gal, when they were working Aggieville and, doing the nighttime stuff. And you always see people scooting across the intersection right there. Yeah. I mean, it just happens all the time. Somebody's going to get hit there. I don't think there's any question about that.
Maybe just a pedestrian light, similar to what they have around campus.
Which, for all practical purposes, will be a stoplight. Right. I mean, that's, because they walk up. If you use those things on North Manhattan, like as a pedestrian, please let me encourage you to hit the button and look first. Don't just hit the button and step out in front of traffic.
And, of course, the other thing with that whole issue, especially at night and considering the area at Aggieville, you have alcohol involved, people are impaired. Yeah, it's true. I've seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you express that sentiment about looking first to, the K-State student body?
Well, I wasn't going to name names, but yeah, okay.
Look before you cross the street.
Yeah, at a crosswalk sign.
And not just at your phone.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and talk more. Get back to maybe some of that traffic enforcement you were talking about
before.
Sure,
we can finish that up.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance.